Good morning, Spanish River Church. It's so good to see everyone today. And for those joining us online, we're so glad you're able to be with us for our worship today, and I hope that you're truly blessed by our service. My name is Matt Wilson. I'm the student ministry pastor here, and it is really an honor for me to be able to come and bring to you part two of our gratitude series. Well, I hope everyone had a very blessed Thanksgiving, and you had your fill of friends and family and, of course, turkey and stuffing. I know I have, but it was a wonderful weekend. And I have to say, it actually was a really nice end to our weekend with that crisp weather this morning. Wasn't that nice? Wow, we're like, must be heading towards Christmas. All right, I think so. Well, today is part two of our gratitude series called The Power of a Grateful Heart. And last week, we looked at how God has commanded us to be grateful, and actually that gratefulness, as we exercise this, that it actually is a supernatural weapon that He's given to us to be able to fight and to resist against the spiritual forces of darkness which seek to steal the joy of your salvation. And so today what we're going to do is we want to actually learn from God's Word exactly what the source of our gratitude is, and that from this, the thanks that we give from this grateful heart, that we are strengthened in our faith and that we are empowered to live as the people of God. So if you would turn in your Bibles, we're going to look at Psalm 105, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6. God's Word tells us this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles, and the judgments He uttered. O offspring of Abraham, His servant, children of Jacob, His chosen ones. Well, go with me in prayer as we seek the Holy Spirit's guidance to help us understand these truths and be able to apply them to our lives. Let's pray. Father, we do come before You with grateful hearts. We are so thankful for who You are and that You have revealed Yourself to us through Your Word that we may know You. I pray Your Holy Spirit guides this instruction today so that we are able to understand these truths, so that we may be led in Your ways by Your Spirit, by Your strength. And I pray, Father, as we do so, that we live lives of faith, live lives of blessing to this world, so that we overall, that we reflect You, and that we, in the living of our lives, point others to You and how they can find salvation in You as well. So bless this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm sure you would not be surprised to learn that gratitude isn't something that is exclusive to the church. They don't have really a corner on that market. If you were to search and look and research gratitude, you'll actually find that a lot of secular psychologists, probably most secular psychologists, are going to recognize the benefits of gratitude to your well-being as a person. In fact, in my looking up of these different places and things, that there's even a gratitude training organization, and I believe it's here in Palm Beach County, actually, where you can actually take classes and they can train you how to be grateful. So I'm sure as I'm telling you this, you're thinking of certain people in your mind that you want to send these people to that class so that they can learn to be more grateful. But one website even explained this. It said, people who regularly practice gratitude by taking time to notice and reflect upon the things they're thankful for, that they experience more positive emotions, they feel more alive, they sleep better, they express more compassion and kindness, and even have stronger immune systems. Wow. You know, when you read that, that sounds really attractive to us. And you're like, wow, I would like to practice this. I would like to learn how to do this like they're talking about. And I can see why people who are just searching for this or stumble upon this or, you know, get a flyer or a pamphlet, read about this, they say, this seems very helpful to me. Well, I think what's important to understand here is this: that's not fully what God's offering. Yeah, there are these benefits that are truly like that. And that's a reality. But God is offering us and calling us to something way more significant than just really self-improvement techniques, which is really what's being offered here. That the Bible teaches us that the source of our gratitude actually grounds us to the reality of who God is as the creator of all creation, the maker of all things, but also as the Lord God, the sovereign over the whole universe who directs it, but also as our Savior. And so when we think of this and of gratitude in our lives, it not only grounds us in who God is, but it also helps us understand fully who Christ is and to appreciate that, which then further just reminds us of who we are in Christ. And so from this psalm that we read, it's a very popular psalm. It's a very common worship psalm. It is actually repeated throughout the scripture several times in several other books. And it is used many times in churches that have calls to worship, that this is a very common call to worship. But from this psalm, there's a lot of things we can learn from it. But today I'd like to point out three specific things. I want to focus on these things that we can have as takeaways to learn about gratitude and about how to actually find the source, tap into the source, and practice it from the source so that we can experience real change. Well, the first thing I'd like to look at is this, is that gratitude that this passage teaches us, that gratitude enables us to fully live as God's people. So when we first look at the psalm, you can't help but notice really all of the action that it's asking us to take. This psalm is filled with verbs, and not only verbs, exclamation points. So there's not just to kind of do this. No, it means to emphatically be doing things, saying. In fact, as I read it to you incorrectly. My English teacher would have told me that was wrong because it has an exclamation point, and you just don't read it. You're to be shouting this with excitement, and that's exactly what this psalm reads like. And so we look upon this, and it says, to give thanks, to call upon, to make known, to sing, to praise, to tell, to glory, to seek, and to remember. Okay, we got that? We good? We good for the day? We got enough things to work on? Okay, there's a whole list right there of these things. But it's amazing what the psalmist is trying to communicate about this. And when we look at this, we have to think, what are these list of actions? What are these list of actions that he's given to us? Well, these are actually worship activities. All of them are worship activities, and it shows us that worship is permeated with gratitude and with thanksgiving. And so when we dive into this, we see that our gratitude actually drives our life of worship. And so if you were to ask people to summarize the Christian life, really, what is it you're to do? I think a lot of people would say, well, it's to be a good person. It's to do good things. It's to lead a moral life. And you could say these things, and the scriptures do call us to those things. But I think if you answer that way, I'd have to say, and I don't mean to be offensive, but I think that's a very crass way to describe your relationship with God. It'd be kind of like this, that on your anniversary, you know, why do you give your wife flowers? Well, if your answer is, well, I was expected to, or I'm supposed to, here's the flowers. No brownie points there, okay? Zero, all right? In fact, you dug yourself into a hole, all right? And that would be the same as really relating your life with God, your relationship with God, as just a list of to-dos, a list of things you're supposed to do, and you do this, and your God smiles on you this day. But that's not really what we find here, because as we do that, I would say that you're actually living more of the letter of the law. In other words, that you're trying to just, you equate this to God to just, if I obey these certain things, then I stay in relationship and having a good relationship. But it doesn't work in your lives here. It doesn't work with your spouse and your friends or your children or your coworkers. That's not a relationship. Now, that's the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law, where the spirit of the law is that I love God, I'm grateful for God, and therefore I worship God. And that's the same reason why we would give flowers to our spouse or gifts to one another at Christmas. It's not because you're just supposed to, but it's because we love them. And we want to show them that we're grateful for them, that they're in our lives. And we want to express that. And so we want to live by the spirit of the law. So if you were to describe the Christian life, I'd say it's best described as a life that is a life that is in worship to God. That your whole life is in worship to God. Not just Sunday mornings. He does call us to that, and we do meet as the people of God together and worship Him together. And that's great. That's what we're supposed to do. But worship is well beyond that. That worship is your entire life. It's every hour of every day. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It never ends. That your life is given in worship to God. In other words, that you are ascribing to Him the greatest worth above all. And He is who defines you, and He is who leads you. And so what I think it's important to know too is that our relationship with God is a relationship that's rooted in love. That God, when He began, He started a relationship to create this people group of His children, that he grounded in this statement of that, I will be your God and you will be my people. And it wasn't just something that He said, that He actually legally ratified this and sealed the deal so that you cannot be removed from one another. And that's how bad He wants it. And then in that, He calls us to then to love Him and give ourselves wholly to Him and to love Him with our entire being and our entire lives. This is why He says that you're to love the Lord your God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that is the response to Him, to the love that He shows us by binding Himself to us, you see. And so it's this great love relationship that we have. And so gratitude is what then keeps before us that this God sought us out when we were undeserving, that we were undeserving of His love in a relationship with Him. He took hold of us and He made us His by His love. So when we are grateful, we're being grounded in this. It keeps that before us. It keeps that front and center before our eyes and in our minds and in our hearts as we live life, as we make decisions, as we go on with relationships, as we make life plans. That becomes front and center to our lives. Now, this psalm also shows to us another way that gratitude enables us to faithfully live as His people, in that our gratitude drives our life on mission. Gratitude drives our life on mission. And you see this in verse 1 when He's telling us to. He says, give thanks to the Lord. Well, how do we do that? Well, we call upon His name. We make known His deeds among the peoples. Among the peoples. Well, my first question when I'm reading this is, well, who are these peoples? Who are we talking about? Because he's not just talking the Israelites, or he'd say, make these great deeds known among the people, meaning your those around you, the one you're with. But this word here actually goes beyond that. We can learn more about it in Isaiah 12. And it's great because Isaiah 12 is singing, Isaiah the prophet here is singing Psalm 105, all right? And so he says here in verse 4 and 5, he says, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples. See? Proclaim that His name may be exalted. But then he goes on and says, sing praises to the Lord, for He has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all of the earth. And so this word peoples actually points us back to, it's a word that essentially means those in your family. Those are part of the connection. You're related to one another. And so when he says the people, so he's talking about all of the different families of the earth, which is the word nations. Is what nations are, that they're made up of family groups, of people group, of that are ethnic groups together. And so he's saying here that you are to tell of the great and wondrous things that He's done, that you're made them to be known among all of the nations and the people groups who do not know of this God. So worship produced from gratitude is evangelistic. In other words, that it proclaims the good news of God by proclaiming the great things that he has done. And so in Sunday, we do proclaim this as we worship together. This is the message from beginning to end at our church, that we are proclaiming the good news of our God, declaring the great things that he has done. But it's also something that we're to do in our lives personally, every single day. And this is what Christ was saying in the Great Commission in Acts when he was talking to the 12 right before he ascended into heaven. He says, and you will receive power, okay, to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, to their people group, to Judea, their people group, and Samaria starting to move out, and the outermost parts of the earth. In other words, you will bring this message and you'll tell of the great things that I have done, the great things that you've seen me do, that I've lived this life, that I'm God come to earth, put on flesh, and I proclaimed salvation to sinners, seeking to seek and save the lost as they place their faith and trust in me. And you can know that it is true because you've seen my miracles, you've heard my teachings, and my speaking with authority, that I claim to be God, I am God, I will do the work of God to secure your relationship with your God. And as you have faith in me, this is applied to you. So he's telling the apostles, go and tell all of these great deeds of this God among the peoples. And so as we live our lives day in and day out, that we are giving thanks, that we are to be giving thanks and telling others of God's deeds, not just recounting it in our head. A lot of times we think that remembering is just a mental exercise. Whenever the scriptures mention to be remembering, it's not a mental exercise. They talk about it verbally. This whole passage, practically every single verb here is a verb. It's to be verbalized. It's to be spoken and said. And it's telling us this needs to be said to other people and to people who are within the church, your brothers and sisters in the church, but also to those outside of the church who do not know Christ. And this is part of the proclamation of the gospel going forward that calls people into a relationship of salvation with Jesus, that they become his people and he is their Lord and their Savior. I tell you, it tells me as we enter in the Christmas season, I'm starting to get all these Christmas songs popping into my head. And it automatically reminded of the traditional Christmas song, Go Tell It on the Mountain, right? I'm not going to sing this. Oh, I'm just going to tell you the lyric. Go tell it on the mountain, all right? Over the hill and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that is part of our proclamation that we are to call people to. Well, the second thing that our passage teaches here is that the focus of our gratitude is remembering the works of God, is remembering the works of God. And I want you to know how key this is. This is what separates secular psychological pursuit of gratitude from really what you could see biblical gratitude and what God is calling us toward, because the source of it is significant. That what you're actually claiming, and it, because a lot of the articles that I read on gratitude that were secular, they're just like, you give thanks for the things that give you joy. You give thanks for the things you're grateful for. And it's like, well, you know what? Life has a lot of hard circumstances. In fact, it's one after the next, after the next, after the next. And the Apostle Paul tells us something else. He says, give thanks in all circumstances. And see, that's the power of God at work, that you're able to glory in him regardless of your circumstance. And that's what he calls us to. And so as we remember the works of God in our gratitude, we got to remember that we got to just be reminded that remembering is a very powerful thing. That if you think about it, the majority of our holidays are centered around remembering. You have Martin Luther King Day, right? Which is Martin Luther King's birthday, to really remember the work that he had done and that really the accomplishments that he was able to achieve and the work that still needs to be done in civil rights. And so we remember that act. We think of Valentine's Day, right? Well, it's Saint Valentine's Day, and it's this is one of the our are martyrs of the faith, that he went forward. I don't know if he was killed in the faith, but I know that he was imprisoned for his faith. We also know of St. Patrick and St. Patrick's Day. Of course, these holidays have kind of, I'd have to say, in America, and maybe thanks to Hallmark or the Hallmark Channel, I don't know which one of those, but it's kind of fallen off the rails that St. Patrick's Day isn't about, you know, drinking green beer with your friends until 2 a.m, but it's actually about the St. Patrick who brought the gospel to Ireland, is what that holiday is about. You think about Easter, of course, as we celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have Memorial Day, right, where we remember those who are the servicemen and women who've given their lives for our country. Of course, you have Independence Day, is the remembering of our country, the fight that it took to be able to make us independent from England. And of course, Thanksgiving, where the pilgrims shared a meal with the Native Americans and celebrating the harvest. And then, of course, Christmas, where we get to celebrate the coming of the Messiah. And so we have all of these holidays that help us remember. But we have another holiday. It's become a holiday, but it's not an official holiday. It's not an official federal holiday. But we have celebrated for almost 20 years now, and that's 9/11. That 9/11, when that happened, that shook everybody's world. The world became a different place after that day. And we are reminded about the significance of that event. And I know you, I'm sure you recall President Bush going to New York and standing on the rubble of the towers, the World Trade Center towers that fell, and standing on that rubble. And you remember what he said? We will not forget. We will not forget. And so even though this isn't a national holiday, we are not forgetting that on that day, there's observances all over the country, really, to remember the victims, the 3,000 people who died that day. But also, it's to recognize and to remember that there's an awful lot of heroes. An awful lot of heroes, from the people who were on the plane that stormed the cabin, that crashed the plane so it didn't get to its destination. And then you have all the first responders in New York City who came to those buildings. That's got to be a terrifying scene. You don't know what's going to happen with these buildings. Are they going to stay up or not? And that was irregardless, because as people were giving accounts that there's just people just flooding down the stairwells to get out of the building, and going past them are the first responders, moving towards the danger, towards the fire, and trying to find people who are trapped and rescue people. We don't want to forget that. We want to remember that. It's very important to us. And so we see here that the focus of our gratitude, it's so many times, I know with myself, I get caught up in giving gratitude for what I have. That makes my life nice and easy, and I'm thankful for these things. But when we look at Scripture, what gratitude is for, it's not for just thinking about what I have, but it's remembering what God has done, and that we will never forget. We will never forget, because if you're a sinner like me, you needed to be rescued. You were desperate for rescue, and God was your first responder. And he brought you into salvation. And so this is why we remember what God has done, and that is what drives us. Well, the psalmist then even gives us some details of the categories of what we are to remember in verse 5. And I love it here. He says, remember the wondrous works. Remember his miracles. Remember the judgments that he has uttered. And you might, you know, as you look at these phrases, you have to think, well, what really are these? Well, if you go through the psalm, the remainder of the psalm, he actually fleshes out these three things. This really is an outline of the rest of the psalm. And I would recommend you later today to spend some time looking through this psalm and even praying through this psalm and just giving thanks as you go through that. But what I would say in kind of a big picture is that he's saying, what are these wondrous works? Well, this wondrous works is that God made a covenant with a sinner. And through this sinner, he says, I'm going to make you into a people group. And you, this people group will be mine, my treasured possession of all the earth. And I will bind myself to them, and I will bind them to me. And they will experience the full power of my love. And so So that's the first of the wondrous things. But then he went and he did make this people group, and he established this people group. But then when this people group fell into trouble and they became enslaved in Egypt, then he begins to recount in the rest of this psalm of how God rescued them out of slavery by sending a savior to them, Moses. And so they recount how God has done these great and terrific acts and these really these miracles of the plagues, as well as the judgments that he uttered, because he uttered judgments so that those people who rebel against me and harden their heart against me, against my love and against my against really the promises that I have of being with me, that I will be your God and you'll be my people. To those who don't want that and push away from that and think that's the worst deal in town, there's judgment upon that. But this is all part of why we have to go and we have to communicate who this God is, to call people out of it, because we were in the same place as that. Well, in remembering these great deeds, that we are to be reminded of God's faithfulness to his people. Regardless of the trouble that finds them or the trouble they get themselves into, God is faithful to his people, that he becomes their refuge, their rescuer, their savior. But in the remembering of these things, it has an effect on us. It has an effect on us, just like our other holidays, just like the 911 when we do the, we remember these situations and these accounts, that when we remember these acts of God, that it encourages the people of God both then as well as today to respond in faithfulness to God, to the things he calls us to walk rightly, to walk justly. Okay, to walk in a way, a pattern of worship, that you walk in a way that you reflect God to the rest of this world. And so when we think of remembering, don't only think Old Testament, because, you know, we're in the Old Testament, so they're recounting these things, but you have to think forward also to the New Testament. You have to think of the work that Christ has accomplished and the giving of the Holy Spirit, because that is what the entire Old Testament has been pointing towards, is that event. So I find one of the most powerful situations that really reinforce this idea that that our gratitude is based in remembering, that one of the most powerful situations is when Jesus is at the Last Supper with the disciples right before his death. And you see this in Luke 22:19, and he says these words. He says, "And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And so in this, we have to think about the context here, that Jesus is in his darkest hours. And in the midst of that, he maintains a grateful heart. He maintains a grateful heart. And in that, he then asks them, and he institutes the Lord's Supper, where he commands them to repeat this act of this bread, of taking this bread and receiving this bread, because this bread, as you partake of this, is you're partaking of me, and you're doing this in remembrance of all that I have accomplished for you in my life, of establishing righteousness, of going to the cross innocently, of taking the wrath of God for his people, and atoning for those sins, and then dying in your place and being buried for 3 days, and then coming back from the dead, conquering sin and death, now calling people into salvation, that as they have faith in Jesus, they get his life. They get the atonement placed upon them so that there is no more payment to be made. There's no more wrath stored for you. And you get his resurrection as well. This is what he's calling them to. So he's calling them with a grateful heart to be remembering, 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 and frequently be about that in your lives. Well, the third thing is this, is that this passage teaches us that not only is the source of our gratitude the remembering, but the foundation of this gratitude is grace itself. And that just as gratitude is expressed in thanksgiving, so God's love is expressed towards us in grace. And we see this in verse 6 here when he gives the names who he's talking to. And he says, "O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones." And what he's saying here, he's very specifically calling them this phrase, these phrases, and we don't always pick up on this, but these phrases, what he's telling them this, that you Israelites are the offspring and the children of Abraham and of Jacob, reminding them this, that you didn't attain this salvation in your own power and in your own might, in your own wisdom, or in your own goodness. No. But rather, you received this salvation completely by grace because you are a descendant from them. Just as a baby has no power to control the family they're born into, so you as the offspring of Abraham and Jacob had no power to get this blessing placed upon you, that it comes to you completely by grace. And for it was the same with their forefathers. They had to receive it completely by grace as well. For it says there that they are the chosen one. Abraham was the one that God had chosen to start this family line through. And we read this in Ephesians 2:8-9. It says, "For by grace you have been saved. It is through faith, and is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Well, the same is true for us today. It's true for us today that God has caused us to be saved from our sin into a new life, and that by the giving of this Christ, who is the author of our faith and the completer of our faith, that as we place our faith in Him, believing upon Him, He grafts us into Abraham's family, into the promises of God, so that we may fully enjoy this God as a child of God. Well, my question for you today is this: where are you in regards to gratitude? Is your life characterized by the gratitude towards God and the love and the grace and the mercy that He's shown to us? Well, if you want to grow in this, I want to point you in one direction, and that is to God's Word. This is the account of all of God's wonderful, mighty, great deeds. And to spend time reading and learning and understanding, and to let that drive the gratitude that you have for Him. Today, you also may recognize that you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that you don't know Him as your Lord, as your Savior. Well, today, you can give your life to Him. You can trust in Him as your Lord, trust in Him as your Savior, trust that He will forgive you of your sins, that He will lead you in a life of righteousness, and that it will guarantee you eternity with Him, that you will receive the honor of Christ, be seated on the throne with Him at the right hand of God for eternity as you place your faith and trust in Him. Let's pray if we could. Father, we thank You and we praise You for who You are. We thank You for all that You have done, all that has been accomplished to bring sinners out of their desperate state into a place of great honor and great joy. May our lives be characterized by gratitude, knowing that we've received mercy and love from You. May it compel us to tell others, and may we see Your kingdom expand as a result. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray these things. Amen.